Chapter 20. Lena. Ah, got their attention. No, Val's slipping away. Got him. Take that, shithead. Just my personal nickname for him. Okay, I started. So, on Thursday, I went to Gowrie's for Thanksgiving dinner, and it was like the biggest, most delicious sea of chaos I have ever had the pleasure to sail. That turkey was the size of his little brother, I swear. Maybe it was. Wasn't one of them missing? Yeah, Chucky. But he was just sick in bed, Gowrie assured me. I don't know how he can keep those little buggers' names straight. They all look the same to me. Chucky, Alfie, a bunch of little girls. No, one was Joey, who just looked like one of the girls. I don't know. But Gowrie's really devoted to them. It's kind of sweet. Anyway, the pumpkin pie was... Was there some point to your story? That would be Zell. He's so matter-of-fact and to the point, it's annoying. But that's okay. He was raised by his demanding grandpa, so he's bound to be a bit weird. Oh yeah, and that scarred for life thing. I don't even think about it anymore. At the time, I used to cheer him up by playing that he would find he had amazing superpowers, like super strength or stone skin or something. But we sort of grew out of that. He thinks he's grown out of a lot of stuff. But I know he's still like that. Bright, precocious little second grader who told me out on the playground that I wasn't supposed to hit boys. I gave him a bloody nose. He called me a bully and several other things. Yeah, that was 8 years ago. And I still remember what shoes he was wearing. Black sneakers. Weird, huh? Yes, there was a point. I'm just giving it some background information. But, Lena... It's mean to brag about your Thanksgiving dinner when some of the others, Amelia gazed at Zell, didn't have such a nice dinner. Zell blushed and turned his back to us. Gods, Amelia, how can I get it through your thick skull? No matter how much you like the guy, if you keep embarrassing him like that all the time, he's going to hate you. Besides, that's my job. Zell doesn't want to be saved. He wants to do it himself. He has his male pride to contend with. Okay, I'll get to the point. So this morning, while you two were sleeping, me and Amelia were fixing up her house for this thing. And I had to get up at 7:30 in the morning on a holiday to do it. Then we had to get in the van and drive all over the place, finding Gowrie and Val and Sylphiel, who thank goodness offered to pick up Philia here. Stupid Gowrie forgot to mention to his mommy that he was going somewhere today, so we had to beg, plead, and kowtow in order to get him away from babysitting duties. Ha ha ha! Gowrie looks so sheepish and embarrassed. Serves him right. Can't ever remember a damn thing. Except for the stuff I don't want him to remember. He's great with that kind of stuff. Man, Gowrie is weird. I mean, he's got this huge family. Lots of little monsters. His parents are the salt of the earth, and he's a real nice guy. But he used to hang out with all the skater punks and rough guys, a faction of Val's crowd. I don't know how such a good-natured guy went through that gauntlet without being eaten alive. Aw, now he looks lost and sad. Better cheer him up with more of my story. So, then Sylphiel remembers that the cake is back at her place. So we turn around and wait forever while she finds the packed-up cake and carries it out to the van. Gods, she's even weaker brain than Gowrie. Lots of guys seem to like her type. Quiet and sweet and pretty and polite and dumb, dumb, dumb. So why doesn't she go and hang on to one of them? No, she decided to dedicate herself to pleasing Gowrie, which... thankfully, has been restricted to baking him goodies and agreeing with every idiotic thing he says. Jeesh, how lame. Ah, well, he doesn't seem to be softening yet. Ha, he's tougher than he looks. Anyway, she can sing backup good enough and does what she's told, so that's something. Oh yeah, now I remember another funny story. Once in, what, third or second grade, I told everyone that Zell was Sylphiel's younger sister. He sure was mad. She wasn't too thrilled either, but she stopped telling everyone she had a crush on him. So, where was I? The van trip. Who could forget? So, now we headed towards Zell's place, and the van pops a tire. So we all get out and help the driver change the tire, and of course, the spare's a piece of shit, so it's probably going to die within the next few days, or maybe the gravel road in front of the trailer park will do it right now. We pulled up to let Val out to retrieve the drum machine, which let me talk about him behind his back a bit. The spare was good enough to get us going, but when we get back into the van, Val and Philia are having a problem. Val, I could write a book about that character. We met at a rave dance my old friend dragged me to at the end of last year. He's pretty cute, in a vile sort of way. And could he ever dance? He's a lot smarter than he acts, too. If he did any homework, he'd get good grades. But that sickening stepfather of his, Gav, never did anything to encourage him. For a while there, I think he had a thing for me. I had to combat his wandering hands several times. Lastly, though, I think gorgeous Philia has snagged him. She's a bit of a snob and part of that weirdo Seafeed Believers crowd. It would sure turn out funny if Val really is a native-born believer, too. Anyway, she gives him a smile, and he's a sappy little puppy dog. Oh well, keeps him out of jail and in school. I wish Philia were less of a bitchy snob and lived closer so she was a lot less trouble. Yeah, back to the story. So, I sit next to Val, Philia sits next to Amelia, who's holding the cake, and Silphiel is glomming onto Gowrie in the back. But not for long, because Zell's place is close, and he's always ready to go on time. I get out and bang on the door. No answer. I bang some more. No answer. I run to the back. No answer. I climb the back stairs to the balcony. No answer. Maybe Zell's hurt, or his grandfather has slipped and fallen, and Zell's in trouble. So I jimmy the louvered windows next to the sliding patio door. I didn't so much as break the window as take it apart. Then I reached in and unlocked the door. And am I good or what? Ran screaming for Zell. And what do you think? That's right. No goddamn answer. And do you know why? Because no one is there. Now I'm frantic. Zell's never missed an appointment. His grandfather is gone, and so is he. So obviously, they've gone to the hospital. Hey, what does a girl have to do to get a drink around here? Oh, thanks, Amelia. Water cooler in a van. Oh, yeah. Okay, I could go on now. So, I get back to the van, and I'm a bit more frantic than usual. Amelia goes ballistic on me and insists that the driver take us to the hospital immediately. Amelia's a character, all right? She's a real cute kid, smart, and eager to lend a hand or an ear, whatever's needed. Yeah, she bugs me with that justice and the righteous cause garbage, but everybody bugs me sometimes. If I had a choice, she'd be my little sister, and her older sister and mine could drive off a cliff together. I think Amelia'd like that too. Last year, I hung out with her sis Naga. What a wild pair we made. But now she's into alcohol and dropped out of school. Too bad. If not for the iron hand of my sister, it might have been me going down the tubes with her. And I would have missed all this. Irritation, annoyance, stress, you pick it. I've been through it today with this bunch of lovable idiots. Did I just say lovable? Jeesh, I'm getting all soft here. I gotta get me that other writer. She writes me tough dialogue, not all this introspective, mushy pablum. So, when Amelia gets going, there's no stopping her. Or the van. Now we're ripping along to the hospital, and Val's getting carsick. I kick him up to the passenger seat up by the driver and put him in charge of the music. He's happy, I've got room to stretch out, and then it's time to get out. I let Amelia field this one while I hang out in the van. About the time I start sawing them logs, everybody piles back into the van. Whoa, I've got Gowrie back. Val's glued to the CD, and Philia and Silphiel are sitting together. Amelia is sitting in front of me and yaks on and on about how neither Zell nor Professor Greywords is in attendance at the hospital. Great, so where are they? Gowrie suggests we stop in to see Zellos, and let the driver take the cake back to Amelia's before he eats it. Good idea, Gowrie, but first we stop at the pastry shop to get Kiki. Lucky for us, she's not been contaminated with Zell's karma, and so she is ready and quick to be on her way. So we pull up to Zelos's. You know, that sounds really stupid. You need a nickname. What? Zell? No, I don't think so. I'll think of something else later. Anyway, where was I? Oh yes, hop out. And lo and behold, who should we find lounging around in Zelos's pad but Zell? Now, you tell me, who had the better time? I was breathing down Zelos's neck like a vampire ready to strike. We didn't ask to roll off a cliff and spend Thanksgiving in the hospital, Zelos defended. Well, you could have called us to let us know what happened, I raved. What were we supposed to think, pulling up to an empty house? Or even coming in to see you all bandaged up like that? Why didn't you call me? It was very late last night, was Zelos's excuse. We had more pressing matters to attend to, like Zelos's wound. By the time we got back from the hospital, we had to stay awake for a few hours, like we told you. And as soon as it was safe for him to sleep, we both just crashed. Lena? I think Zelos might have called me on Thanksgiving, but we were so busy, it was noisy, too. I couldn't hear him very well. I forgot to tell you. What? You jellyfish for brains! You knew Zell was there all along, and you forgot to tell me? My righteous wrath rained down upon him until Zell pulled me off. Zelos sidled up to Gowrie and whispered, "Thank you." Okay, so then why were you hanging out with Zelos on Thanksgiving anyway? I thought you two were, like, pissed off at each other or something. This was really weird. Why don't they tell me stuff I need to know? What if this wasn't just a stupid party, but someone was in trouble and we needed Zell's help or something? And he wasn't there. I'm not just nosy, I'm thinking about the future. They don't get it. Zell's always had this problem about revealing his personal info, and Zelos based his whole personality around it. So selfish, really. Someday they're going to need my help, and I won't be there, and they'll be left on their own. Not just Thanksgiving, Zell mumbled. He's not doing it by choice. My mother and his grandfather are at a conference, and we've been crammed together for a few days because my mother doesn't trust me to take care of myself, or something. Besides, you don't think he'd do this and not get paid, do you, Lena? Whoa, Zelos sounded pretty bitter there. Do I even want to get involved in this? Obviously, yes! Stop it, Zelos. Oh dear, Zell's serious. You're wrong. I'm not doing this because I'm being paid, he spat. That's disgusting. That's just disgusting. How could you even think that? Your mom asked me to because she didn't want you to be abandoned for days, okay? And it isn't good for either of us to be left alone, even though and it's not so bad. I mean, anyone else would jump at the chance to spend a few days alone with a friend, right? Everyone nodded silently to themselves. So why should it be any different with you? I'm doing it because I'm your friend, and what would have happened if you'd fallen and I wasn't there, or vice versa? Maybe your mom was right. I'm sorry, and I really like your dog. Is Zell getting sick? That was the most disjointed, rambling, kindest thing I've ever heard him say. Where did all that logic and order go? Ah, despondent nerds in social situations. But he's good in a crisis, isn't he? Maybe I don't have to worry about that someday when they'll need help. Maybe by then they'll be able to stand on their own. And I really like your dog. That was lame, even for Zell. I think I'll tell him so. I really like your dog. Lame, man. Just lame. I shook my head. I think Beast likes you too. He's half wolf and really fierce. And he jumps up on people and bites them. He attacked Kiki's shoulder, sending her into giggles. He ignores me. But he gets along with you just fine. Zelos was his cheery self again. Good. He did notice how nice Zell had been. That means we won't have to worry about any more antipathy from those two. Which is great, since this is a party we're going to, and not a therapy session, for God's sakes. Oh, he's just an old deaf dog who likes anyone who feeds him. Remember when your mom shot me when she thought I was an intruder? Your half-wolf didn't even come down to see what was up. Zell put it to a rest, though he was smiling. Too much mirth. Time for me to yell at him some more. Yeah, well, it's a good thing we did find you, because if you'd been absent from your own surprise birthday party, I would have killed you when I found you. Let it sink in. Ooh, we're just driving under the Happy Birthday Zelgadus banner over the gate. I couldn't have orchestrated that better if I tried. Now push Zell's nose to the window. That's right, he's blushing. His eye is a saucer. Let's move that hair away. Yes, he does have two eyes. Hey, it's not my fault. It was Amelia and Zelos' idea. Ask anybody. I just came along for the ride. Not me, cried Zelos. She volunteered me so that she could use my name to replace hers. No, you were supposed to fold up your drums and call Zell, and a whole list of things you totally neglected. Phileas sniffed. Well, I couldn't very well say, hey, Zelgadus, leave the room so I can help plan your surprise birthday party. Or maybe just go ahead and fold up my drums, and when he asks me why the hell I'm doing that, just say, that's a secret, until he kills me? Zello sniffed back. That would have been just fine with me. I can do with a lot less of you. Phileas was in a snit. Maybe she needed some cake and ice cream. I know that always makes everything turn out all right for me. So, Zell, what say we go in and party? I asked, swinging the door open. He fell out. Gowrie, as usual, was there to pick him up and hustle him indoors. Oh, come on, Zell, it's not that big of a deal. You thought we'd forgotten your birthday? Forgotten? He sputtered. You've never remembered my birthday, because you never knew about it. It was one of my best-kept secrets. You didn't forget, you just found out about it. And I bet I know who... Where did he go? He's hiding. Zell stood angrily, yanking at his hair, looking to kill, and yet becoming mesmerized by the illuminated adornments. Amelia had gone all out on decorations. Lavender and blue crepe paper hung swag-like from the central light fixture to all corners of the room. Helium balloons of all colors, thankfully, covered the ceiling. Tables had been brought in, which were laden with food and a gorgeous triple-layer cake, baked by Silphiel. Zell was dumbfounded, overwhelmed, and flabbergasted all at once. He walked around the room, saucer-eyed, murderous thoughts forgotten. His friends, smiling and eager to dive into the food, followed him like vultures. Well, say something! Why, all of this for me? He gasped. Well, I'm hoping you'll share the food with the rest of us. Zell plopped down onto the floor and stared up at the quivering balloons. Is he gonna cry? Shit, if he starts crying, I'm out of here so fast, Val threatened. Oh, shut up! Phileas slugged him in the arm. It's so sweet, actually. Gah, now I'm going to be sick, Lena. Val is going to be dead. Gowrie! Oh, he's already on it. Good boy. Gowrie stopped Val with a hand and a head shake. He smiled and said something that made Val laugh. Gotta love him. I wonder what he said. Gowrie moved over to Val and said, if you don't surrender now, Lena will be on the warpath and nail us both. So just smile and pretend we're joking about something. Whoever thought you weren't smart, wondered Val. Zelos magically reappeared in the shadows. Lena, the instruments are all set up. Do you want to treat him a little song first or let him eat? Then, are you kidding? Eat first. Always eat first. Haven't you learned anything? Hey, everybody, how about we eat this delicious-looking food? Well, that seemed to please everybody. Sometimes it works. Gowrie placed Zell at the head of the table and stuck a party hat on his head. We all ate tons. Well, I did anyway. Though I had to stab Amelia once or twice to make her give up on that last piece of fried chicken. Luckily, her attention was mostly on Zell. She made it her duty to see to it that he had a chance to try everything at the table. Funny, he seemed to enjoy the attention for a change. He must have inadvertently said something nice, because hearts were pouring out of her eyes. Poor Zell. Zell, we have a... Oh, just follow me. Come on, everyone. Time to earn a piece of that cake, I shouted. Zellos had set up the instruments as best he could in the adjoining sound room. Val fussed with his stuff, and Gowri made a couple of adjustments. All right, then. On a count of two. One and two.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Silcanus. Happy birthday to you.
Everyone had sung in such bad harmony, then cheered. Zell grinned and blushed and whispered something under his breath. Amelia and Gowri each gave him a big hug. Val patted him condescendingly on the head. Philia and Silphiel gave him a little peck on either cheek at the same time, which caused him no end of distress. Zellos kept his distance, probably wise in his case. And me? Well, I almost pounded him on his sore shoulder. But I just stood in front of him and stared. Don't you dare. What? What do you think I was going to do? It doesn't matter. Just do me a favor and get me out of this. Zell blushed madly. Sure, fine, whatever. Cake time, everybody! Amelia rushed ahead and lit 17 candles before Zell entered. Again, Gowri led Zell into position in front of the cake.
Make a wish and don't tell, then blow out the candles, Amelia dictated.
The steps she knew he had never executed himself. I know, Amelia. Thank you. Zell smiled slightly, closed his eyes, and blew out the candles. Everyone cheered again, and Zell looked around. Oh, well, you're all still here, he smirked. So how come you're older than most of the kids in your class? Asked Val, as he stuffed another bite into his mouth. My grandfather probably forgot to enroll me until the authorities got on him, Zell said, straight-faced. Actually, you were awfully small and frail in kindergarten as it was, so it was probably for your own safety. I remember pulling some big oaf off of you and cleaning his clock. That's how we met, I winked maliciously. Zell could have died. Ha! That's for stopping your punishment earlier. So, I'm not always nice. I could have taken care of him myself. We were just fighting over a pencil, and I nearly had it back when you stepped in and interfered, Zell said defensively. You remembered! Yeah, and I had to sit out the next two recesses while you got a piece of candy, I laughed. But so did Zell. Amelia ran out and returned carrying a big, beautifully wrapped package, lavender with a blue ribbon.
It's from all of us! Happy birthday, Mr. Zell Goddess! She smiled.
Zell, dumbfounded, sat and stared at the package resting on the table like it could be a bomb. Well, open it up and see what it is, I laughed. It was an effects box, or whatever. To one of the uninitiated, such as I, the thing looked like a control panel from an alien spaceship, black and silver casing with a sea of little knobs and dials. Val told me that you plug your electric guitar up to it, and the amp, somewhere along the line, I guess, and it messes with the signal and makes lots of cool sounds. Of course he loved it. Val couldn't wait to show him how it worked, and had it set up for him to try out in a heartbeat. But he must have done something wrong, because the feedback attacked our ears at an inhuman decibel. While the rest of us held our ears and cursed, Val fiddled with some dials, and the sound dove down to a mere hum. Signal was too hot, he muttered. Yeah, and we'll be in real hot water if we make that noise again, I threatened. I stopped going to raves and dances and stuff to get away from that kind of noise.
Hot water? Like a hot tub?
Asked Gowrie, out of the wide blue ether of his mind. Then somehow the topic of hot tubs was being talked about. Apparently there was one. Amelia was squealing for all us girls to go first. Val was complaining that everybody should be included. Gowrie was agreeing until Silphiel reminded him that no one had brought anything to wear. As realization crossed his face, I butted in and linked arms with the other girls to go for a soak. Zell told me this part later. After a few minutes, Val took off after us. Val, what do you think you're doing? Zell asked suspiciously.
I'm gonna go find the girls. What else? Don't give me that look. They expect us to try and peek. Come on, it'll be fun.
Gowrie followed. Then Zelos. And lastly, Zell. Sighing. Lena embarrassed and mad. You have a machoistic idea of fun. Apparently, we were making a lot of noise, because Zell told me they had no trouble finding the right direction. However, about halfway there, a very dark, formidable, and unmovable object blocked their path. It was the mayor.
And where do you think you're headed, boys?
Phil asked, his black eyebrows shadowing his face. Val stood, frowning, with his arms folded. Gowrie simply stood and looked stupid. Zell shook his head and muttered, "Idiots." So Zelos took it upon himself to answer,
"Oh my, good evening, Mayor. We were on our way to find the hot tub. I believe our turn is next."
He grinned.
"Well, you are at least honest. Since the girls just got started, they will probably be there for some time and not wish to be disturbed. Why don't I find something interesting for you all to do while you are waiting?"
Zell told me that they all obediently fell in behind Phil, who led them to a large, comfortable billiards room. I would have liked it. We soaked until we were prunes. It was getting boring waiting for those clowns to show up, and I was ready to get dry. So we got dressed and wandered around until Phil directed us to their den. Now, Val and I had visited a few pool parlors, so I expected him to be doing pretty fair. But Gowrie had a touch as well. I guess Zell and Zelos' math skills helped them out, because they were holding their own too. Heh, I only had to twist a few arms and they let me play. Course, I was better than any of the guys. Ha ha. Beautiful, talented, smart, I've got it all. Because I'm Lena Inverse, and I will rule the world. Oh, that was Naga's laugh. Maybe I should quit while I'm ahead here. But then, I wouldn't be Lena if I did that, would I? Back at the coach house, we helped ourselves to more cake and discussed what to do next. Zelos fell asleep. Kiki was sitting beside him on the floor, looking about ready to crash, too. Zell was resting his eyes. I guess we know who the party poopers are now.
We should just leave them here. It's safer than being alone with some shadowy creep hanging around,
Silphiel quavered. But wasn't there a police car parked out front? Just wake them up and take them home, advised Philia. This was really in her own self-interest, since she'd be spending the night and didn't want two boys in the picture.
I could ask my father. I'm sure he'd know the right thing to do, but I don't think Mr. Zelos wants his secrets told,
said Amelia with a great deal of sensitivity. Well, I for one want to sleep in my own bed tonight. I'm sure Kiki's parents want her home too. I say we pack up everybody, leave the equipment, and drop off Kiki, then roll by the house of Zelos and check on the police car. If it's not there, you'll bring them back here, after dropping off me, Gowrie, and Silphiel, and Val. You're staying here, right, Philia? The police car was parked out front. I stepped out and introduced myself. I wanted to be sure my boys were in good hands. Satisfied with the job our city's finest was doing, I gave them a wink and waved goodbye. Zell and Zelos were safe to go home. We waited in the van until they were inside, and then we drove off. What the rest of them did the remainder of that evening, who knows, but I went home. Finished up my writing assignment and fell asleep watching the moon. And you know what the best part was? It was only a Friday night, and I had the whole weekend to look forward to. It's just great being me. Light was coming in through my dirty window, so I knew it was morning. My sister was pounding on my door and screaming, "You've got company! Get decent!" Who would be coming around today? There's band practice. But that's not until after lunch. I had pulled on a t-shirt that reached about mid-thigh when I heard a gentle tap at my door. "Lena, can I come in?" "Gowrie? What the hell are you doing here?" "Just a minute." I found a pair of almost clean red jeans under my bed and was pulling them on when he stepped in.
You were gonna come over and walk through the floor plans with me and Dad. You didn't forget, did you?"
He smiled. "Forget? No, an elephant never does. But I just woke up. What time is it?" 9 a.m.? It's Saturday, and you got me up at 9 a.m.? You're crazy! I need my beauty sleep!" Then he smiled that languid, "it's okay" smile of his that sometimes made my knees go all jelly-like.
"Why would you need beauty sleep?" So, breakfast's waiting. Pancakes and sausages, milk and sliced apples. Hey, wait for me, Lena!
Okay, I was a little embarrassed. Okay, a lot. So I moved faster than usual. But that's better than smashing him on the head, isn't it? I'm maturing some. And there was food waiting. And I didn't want it to get cold, right? Oh, who am I trying to kid? I didn't know whether he meant that as a compliment or an insult. And I didn't want to find out. Not that it matters. I am beautiful. But he didn't have to say that and give me that look. Like I'm a little girl needing coddling. Or a not-so-little girl needing compliments. I don't know which is worse. Well, the food was good. While I was daintily devouring the breakfast, Gowrie and his dad were poring over a huge blueprint spread out over the other end of the table. From what I could see, the top of the garage was being converted into 3 bedrooms and a bath and staircase. Gowrie wanted another staircase, giving him a private entry. "Yeah," I added. "Doesn't one on the outside give you an emergency exit, too?" Gowrie gave me a thankful look, and his father agreed. Am I good or what? Next came lighting. They seemed to have a pretty good handle on that, so I kept my mouth shut, busy with the food at hand. Shower or bathtub? Shower, of course, but make it adjustable for the shorter tykes. Yes. Heating? Boring. So I drank another glass of milk. Floor coverings? Oh, come on, guys. Don't waste the effort on carpeting, which will be dirty and hard to clean. Make it vinyl and add throw rugs. See? 1, 2, 3 strikes, and I'm out of here. Next, we paced off the garage to get a feeling for the size. Not too large, but better than sharing with 2 or 3 little terrors. Well, okay, not so little. I mean, the 9-year-old was as tall as me, and Joey was about Zell's height. It doesn't matter. Just big. Well, now I was awake and fed. Time for action. Alfie, I think that was the 9-year-old bro's name, dragged me to the backyard, where we were joined by at least 8 others about our, his size, and some, or most, of which were somehow related. We kicked a soccer ball around for half an hour before Gowrie found us and joined in. Mostly, we just made him stand at one end as a goal, because he had an unfair advantage of being so tall and good. Everything was going super until one of the little wretched beasts said that the red-headed boy was too slow. I was about to tear him apart when Joey or Chucky or Fifi or whatever stopped us. He told the other kid not to hit me because I was a girl, and not just any girl. I was his big brother's girlfriend, and he would beat me up if anybody touched me. The little beast stood down, cowed by the news. I turned Zell red and lost contact with my speech facility. Gowrie just stood there smiling, like nothing happened. I noticed the ball came my way, and I ran up and sent it sailing into Gowrie's head. That got his attention. He may even have looked a bit hurt. Okay, so maybe I'm not that mature, but I needed to do something to maintain my meanness. Hey, this journal writing stuff is therapeutic. Maybe I'll get Zell into it. God knows he needs help. Of course, having some friends other than me has improved his disposition a lot. I hope Amelia doesn't undo all the good the others are doing for him. She's too intense and moony-eyed. Right now, I'm at our Saturday afternoon band practice. The soccer game really helped me work out my aggressions, and now I'm ready to sing. I don't see Zell, though. So where's his honor today? Out walking Beast, alone, answered Zelos. He needed some space. That must be him locking up at the house now. I'm amazed he's even on the same continent after spending how many days with you? Smirked Philia. Then, with a twitch of her long, braided ponytail, she stalked off to talk to Val. Are you jealous because I didn't invite you? Zelos baited her. What? I wouldn't stay under the same roof alone with raw garbage like you for all the tea sets in Rosie's shop, she cried. Garbage? Garbage? Zelos was about to lose his temper. Time for me to step in before it gets physical. Stop it, both of you. Grow up and shut up. This is band practice. I have an agenda to roll through, and your personal insult-tossing period is not on it. That's right. Zell, nice of you to drop in. Now here's what we're going to do. Amelia has an announcement. Yes, she is on the agenda. Then we will run through our best numbers. Then, well, let's get on with it. Thank you, Miss Amelia. I'm sure you know that the mayor gives a large winter party each year. Traditionally, this has been exclusively ballroom dancing. This year, he wants to include local bands, jazz, folk, and pop. In particular, he wants several high school bands to play. Tryouts will be in 2 weeks. Guys, this would be our first job. There's only time to play a couple of songs, but then we get to join in the party. What do you think? Amelia was bubbling with excitement. I think the realization that we could really be a band struck about then. I, for one, was all for giving it a try. Hey guys, we gotta do this. It's our best chance to see if we really got what it takes. Why else are we doing all this hard work if not to play music in front of an audience? 2 weeks, 2 songs, no sweat, Val said coolly. Could be fun. Zell smirked. You know I'm in if you are, Lena, Gowrie said agreeably. Of course, said Sylphiel with a shy smile. Sure, but what will we wear? Philia asked. Zelos began with a flustered expression. What's the problem, Zelos? When is it? I have that karate tournament to attend during winter break, he said softly.
Oh, it's going to work out just fine, Mr. Zelos.
Amelia pointed to Lena's large calendar.
See, here's your meet. Friday of the first week before the winter holiday. The mayor's winter ball is the first Saturday, the next day, okay?
He began again. Spit it out, I said. I'll need help taking down and putting up this drum set. I've never had to do it before, he said sheepishly. No problem. Val here's an expert, right? I hoped. Yeah, we'll practice a couple of times. Oh, and I'm ready to paint that logo today, Val added. Then it's decided? All right, the Slayers have a job, I cried, and led the band in a round of cheering. Well, yelling anyway. Philia and Sylphiel lead the cheers. Now, Philia has a point. We need a look. Pirates, monsters, period clothing, whatever. Where should we start? Amelia jumped up.
I know! Let's combine our play costumes hunt with our music costumes hunt and start at my house with the collection there.
Then we could try the secondhand shops downtown, I added. So, when can we do this? Does anyone have any plans after 3 o'clock today? No? Then practice will end then and we will go clothes hunting for a couple of hours. Gods, now what's your problem, Zelgoddess? Then stop groaning. If you have no positive contribution. However, if anyone doesn't want to come along, you will have to accept without complaint whatever is chosen, and Amelia has several lovely prince outfits. That's what I thought. Then it's agreed. We played our hearts out for the next 2 hours. I had two new songs, one for me and one other one. The latter one was sort of strange, a lot of retro riffs and stuff. Zelos fell in love with it, and I left it in his hands. He said it was missing something. There's just this empty space in the chorus. Yeah, I got disgusted after all that sap and just left it off. I have the perfect idea.
Everybody sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la,
he sang. I groaned, but only on principle. It was disturbingly fitting. Val made some comment about fucking show tunes, but I hit him and squelched that. The familiar sound of the Amelia van pulling up sounded from the driveway, and we were off. Onwards and upwards, the Slayers were getting dressed.